The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper on this Wednesday hump day, and along beside me is Wesley Wildman. Wesley, it's good to have you, brother.
Hey, it's glad to be on. Now, one thing, when you asked me to be a part of the program today, I don't know if you told me where Alex was. Where's Alex?
On the road.
Okay. Well, that's not surprising. I guess I should have known that before I asked.
Somewhere at Chattanooga, Tennessee and Tupelo, Mississippi.
Okay.
He's going to be live tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Yeah, man. He's headed our way, so we're excited about that.
So live in studio tomorrow.
Yeah, he
is. Oh, great.
And he spoke somewhere in Chattanooga last night and this morning. And he was on Today's Issues, I think, on his Wednesday, speaking of Today's Issues. Is that a good segue?
That's right. That's a good segue.
We have our host of Today's Issues, our president today of AFR, AFA, Tim Wildman. Tim, welcome.
Yeah, I don't want to be president of the United States now. I got enough here.
Oh, man.
You know what? Thank you for the introduction, Bert. Y'all were talking about Alex. I think Alex lives out Willie Nelson's words.
On the road.
On the road again.
Yeah. That's Alex's theme song.
He is a true evangelist.
Yeah.
You know, traveling
He'll
evangelist.
He'll go anywhere and talk to anybody about Jesus.
He will, and he does. He will, and he does. Well, I asked you to be on today. Last night, we got news that we have a new president-elect. We were going to have that no matter what. And
it was this morning.
Yeah, it was this morning. Yes, it was. Donald Trump. And most of us here are getting on about three hours worth of sleep now. And my sleep wasn't restful either. It's still going over my brain.
We junkies, we stayed up and
we
watched.
We stayed up. I could not.
I would guess most people who voted for him did stay up. If they could.
I text Brother Bert at 2 a.m. just to let him know, hey, look, brother, it'll be 9 before I'm in the office. And at that point, he texts me back, no problem, real quick. I was like, what are you doing up at 2? But he was following the results.
My wife wouldn't let me go to bed. She was like, your wife, if Hillary had won, been a month long in bed.
Allison, my wife and I, we were on the patio at 2 a.m. We got home at, we were on the air. Our team was on the air at 1 a.m. Central Time. And so we got home, and I couldn't go to sleep. I had to stay up and see when they were going to call the election, waiting on Pennsylvania or Michigan. And it seemed like the networks were all waiting on each other.
Mm.
And no, you go. No, I guess nobody wanted to make a mistake after being burned.
Mm.
A few years ago.
And I understand
that. Most
of
us who were alive at that time, it was.
Right.
Well, I wanted you on today, and two things is, one, say thank you for putting Exploring the Word right here in the middle of the afternoon.
Amen.
It's kind of a break, and we do Bible study. But every once in a while, something so big happens that we take a break, talk about it a little bit from a different perspective. We try to keep it from a point of view of spiritual, and not that Brian doesn't, they all do, but from just a center point of the Bible. And Tim, I wanted you to share today from your heart just how AFA and AFR was involved in trying to alert people. Our mission statement is to equip and educate and to activate.
Yeah.
And we did that.
Yeah, we did that. We did everything we possibly could to educate our listeners about the differences between Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton. And I think we did the best we could. I think the message that we aired by Reverend Tommy Nelson of the Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, was a godsend. And we played that thing over and over and over and over again because people wanted to hear it, wanted to tell their friends to hear it. That was powerful. I think that was a message to Reverend Nelson from God to the American church.
54-minute sermon, and I listened to every word.
It was riveting.
That's pretty hard to listen 54 minutes, even for a preacher.
Yeah. I tell you how that happened real quick. My friend Ray Comfort, who's most of our listeners are familiar with Ray Living Waters Ministries. He's best known for evangelization and teaching Christians how to witness to atheists and agnostics. Ray sent me a text on, I guess it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. Again, I was on my patio, And I love my patio, man. Just give me my patio, my bedroom, and I'm good to go. But I love my patio. So my wife and I, Allison, we're out there, and I get, beep, your phone goes off, and Ray Comfort, it's sent me a text from California. That's where Ray lives, out there in La La Land. And it said, you need to watch this message. And Ray is not easily impressed.
You don't get that all the time.
No. And he's not going to just send me. He doesn't send me five things a day, okay? And he sent me, he said, you need to watch this. Listen to this. And I clicked on, and it was probably 11 o'clock. My wife and I are night owls, and it was probably 11 o'clock. I clicked on. We listened to the whole thing. We were just captivated by what Pastor Nelson was sharing there. And I don't know Pastor Nelson personally. But listened to it, and I said,
and he's a program on AF4.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He is a great Bible teacher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is.
Yeah, and he said, and I said to Allison, I said, we got to play this. We got to put this on American Family Radio. And went in, came in the next morning. I think it was Thursday morning. Came in, gave it to Jim Stanley, who runs the operation here at AFR. And Jim and his team put it together in a package that we could play in an hour. And because as you say, it's a long message. And we played that thing at 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. I think during Exploring the Word.
Yeah.
Was that Thursday?
Yeah, that was Thursday.
Friday, I think.
Well, no. Was it Friday or Thursday?
It was Friday, but
Friday?
It was the first time it ever played on A4 was during the Sporting the Word Hour. You were out.
Yeah,
on Friday or Thursday?
People were calling me about it.
It exploded. Our listeners. Our listeners were calling and emailing. It just exploded. They said, who is that? Where can I listen to that again? Mm-hmm. How can I get that? I got to share that with my friends. Play it again. We decided...
sent that to the pastor's list. Sorry for interrupting you.
I sent it to the pastors all over America.
Yeah,
35,000 pastor list.
Pastor
they got
Tommy,
a copy of it.
You can still watch it if you want to. It's on YouTube. It's Pastor Tommy Nelson, and it's called, the message is called Continental Divide.
Mm-hmm.
So you type in Pastor Tommy Nelson, Continental Divide, and you'll find that message, that sermon, which is one of the most powerful things I've ever heard. And so I called their church, Denton Bible Church, and I said, you know, my name's Tim Wildman. With American Family Radio, we would like permission to play Brother Nelson's sermon. And she said, it's public domain. You go for it. I didn't even talk to him. I haven't talked to him yet. I'm trying to get his phone number. But I said, can we play it? The secretary said, absolutely. You go right ahead. So we wore that thing out all weekend playing it because we wanted people to hear what he had to say. I thought it was a very important message. The reason is, there were a lot of Christians conflicted on Donald Trump, and I can understand why, because of his life as a playboy billionaire from New York, had been pro-abortion most of his time, given money to liberal candidates. There was no sign in his previous history that he was anywhere near one of us or even understood how we thought. Or our beliefs or anything.
Even
like
when
that.
He was going to run, would he run as a Democrat or Republican?
Yeah.
That was still
a debate. And then you had that tape come out from 11 years ago with that vulgar language. So Christians were going, can I vote for a man so immoral? And I understand that. I understand that sentiment, that feeling. But I do think, in fairness to Donald Trump, he's, and I don't know him personally, but I would guess he's changed. There's something happened to him. I don't know if he has a Christian testimony or not. I haven't heard it, but something happened to the man in the last decade that was an epiphany. I'll just say that. That's what I'm guessing based on what I'm hearing from him talking. But anyway, we wore that sermon out, and people, and what the point of Reverend Nelson's message was this: Christian, we're standing on the cliff. All right. Our country is about to go over the edge, never to return again.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court hangs in the balance for a generation. Pro-life message will be shut down. Christians will start to be persecuted. And I could name the ways that that would happen. You saw what happened with the IRS going after conservative groups. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that would be times 10. I'm telling you, they would come to groups like American Family Radio and say, no more messages on homosexuality or we'll take your license away. Those kind of things were going to happen in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, things like that. Please understand. So we had the choice between a man who had lived an immoral lifestyle, but who was surrounding himself with Christians, godly men, Mike Pence, Mike Huckabee, Ben Carson, I can name more. Why would a New York business tycoon want to hang around Christians all the time? I didn't get that. I got
one answer to that.
Go ahead.
I think he realized that, hey, these people aren't lying to me. They're honest with me. They tell me the truth.
Well,
and that's an honest answer. There's a bunch of sarcastic answers I got.
You could
for
be
you.
Right.
But
you
I
could
think
be right
felt
about
the
that.
Sincerity of Christians.
Let me tell you another thing about that. And I think Pastor Nelson mentioned this. I think he did. Donald Trump picked Mike Pence to be his running mate. Now, Mike Pence, for those who don't know, is the governor of the state. He'll resign now to be vice president-elect. He's the governor of
Indiana.
Well, and by the way, just an aside, I heard John MacArthur say the other day, he's the Bible teacher.
Yes.
That many people follow. He said that Mike Pence's pastor, I guess, was a graduate of his Bible teaching school.
It is.
Of John MacArthur. And you don't get any more conservative on the Bible than John MacArthur.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, and John MacArthur then said, I'm voting for Pence Trump.
Yeah.
because of the worldview he said that they represent. Anyway, so the message that it's okay, Christian, given the circumstances that we're in, you're down to two choices. There aren't three. There aren't four. And what's at stake is too great to take a risk, to not take a chance on Donald Trump, basically, is what he was saying, and Mike Pence. So, Mike, back to my point about, I know you didn't ask me to give a sermon here, but I'm just explaining.
You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, okay. So you got two minutes.
Here's the deal. Donald Trump did not need Mike Pence to win yesterday, I don't think, except for this. Because Donald Trump was going to win Indiana anyway. Mm. All right? He didn't pick Mike Pence to win Indiana.
Right.
He picked Mike Pence because they bonded. They hit it off. I don't think they knew each other before this all happened. And I guess he saw in Mike Pence a Christian man who is a conservative, who is a constitutionalist, who loves America, who wants to make America great again, and somebody I can get good advice from and I can trust.
Yeah,
he learned that pretty quick.
He did.
And he selected Mike Pence against probably the advice of some in the Republican Party. Yeah. And so I think what you're looking at here, and then Donald Trump, and I mean this complimentary, so don't misunderstand my sarcasm, to borrow from Wesley here. In that third debate, Donald Trump did not have enough sense to not say, I'm going to select pro-life judges. You don't say that out loud to the world.
You say that behind closed doors to the conservatives.
That's what Republicans traditionally say. Don't talk about that abortion stuff. You know, that'll get you beat. Well, Donald Trump just came out and said, I'm going to select pro-life judges. Next question.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so, God bless him for saying that. We need to pray for the man. Whether you voted for him or not, whether you like him or not, he will be the next president of the United States. And the Bible says we're to pray for our leaders and support him every which way we can when he's right on the issues.
And we're going to come back and tell you how you can pray for him. Stay tuned for more on Exploring the Word.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
A lot of us are concerned about what's going on in Washington these days, and rightfully so. But Dr. Tony Evans says that our first concern ought to be what's going on a little closer to home. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you want to have transformation in society, you've got to first have disciples in the sanctuary. You must have the full working of the Spirit's way in the life of the family of God. The challenge today in the vision of our ministry and the vision of our church is to develop a congregation that is full of the Spirit of God, because when you're full of the Spirit of God, you're full of life. If Jesus isn't the answer in here among those who know him, he can't be the answer out there to those who don't. If God is a 90-pound weakling in here, he's anemic out there. If there is no food in here, they're going to be starving out there. In order for electricity to illuminate a dark room, the bulb must be filled first. In order for light to fill a dark room, the bulb must get full of electricity so that it can light up everywhere around it. The role of the church is to bring life to the society, but it first must experience that life itself.
That's why Dr. Evans says our nation won't turn to God until the church returns to God. He explains how that can happen in his book called America. It uncovers the roots of our country's moral and cultural decline and spells out a biblical plan for renewal that will really work. Get details today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Hey, it's Crane. Trump wins. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, political communications analyst Seton Mali will break down the key moments that led to Trump's historic victory. Former DOJ prosecutor and best-selling author Andrew C. McCarthy will tell us what President-elect Trump can do on day one to start restoring the rule of law. Plus, Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union, on what the election results could mean for job growth. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is kind of a special edition the day after the national election for a president. Had a lot of senators and all the representatives elected. And Wesley Wildman is with me. Wesley, glad you're with me.
Hey, it's good to be on. I'm looking forward to talking to Alex here in just a second. And it was great to get my dad, Tim Wildman, on to give a quick update on how AFA and AFR, AFA Action, all the different divisions, and you listening was able to be a part of God's mercy on America through all the prayers. And we're going to get to praying. We're going to get to some Bible reading. But you want to introduce?
I do. Alex is on the road, and how unusual is that, Wesley?
No, it's unusual.
but he is. Are you pulled off on the side of the road, Alex?
I sure am, fellas.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me call in.
Well, brother, I know you're on your way here, but we wanted to hear from you and tell us a little bit about what we're doing. Tim was on. You may have heard part of what he said, but he was just
talking about.
And we're here today thanking God, and like most folks said, to give us another opportunity about babies in the womb, a marriage being the correct biblical view.
And the gospel being unhindered.
Gospel being unhindered. Amen, Wesley. That's my bell weather. But Alex, just tell us a little bit. Update us a little bit. Last night, I know you spent some of the night there in a motel room praying, and God was good, wasn't he?
God was good. Let me read a verse from Daniel 4:17. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar explains why the invisible God sometimes moves visibly in history. Daniel 4:17, quote, "So that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms and people, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of people."
Mm. Amen.
God is in control. I believe, fellas, with all my heart, God did this. God, and not that we trust a man. And look, much of the rejoicing, I've done nonstop media interviews since early this morning. It was about a number of things, and I think God honored the prayers of many people, myself included. And Wesley, I just want to commend your father for giving so much of American Family Radio airtime to prayer. Because that's here's true. What was at play, as you said, religious freedom, the life of the unborn. For one thing, our relationship with the nation of Israel. All these were play. I want to say a moment when I really honestly believe that we saw visibly that Donald Trump, he gets what the church is about.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it was my privilege to meet him, to be in several meetings, small meetings, where he had, you know, preachers around him. In the third debate, they were talking about third trimester abortion. And abortion right up until moments before delivery. And Hillary Clinton, you know, and I can honestly say I've prayed for her and her family, and I wish them no ill, and I pray for them to know Christ and to be blessed in Jesus. But this is the most pro-abortion candidate in American history that's been defeated. And they were talking about it, and Donald Trump said, and if you watch, I mean, you can see his countenance change. He said, to rip a baby from a mother's body moments before birth might be okay with you. And he practically shouted it. He said, but it's not okay with me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Remember that?
That was a defining moment, guys, wasn't it, Wesley?
Yeah, it absolutely was. You know, it's interesting you pointed out that you considered the prayers and the fasting to be a result of what took place and God answering our prayers. You know, George Bono also agrees with you on that.
I want you to read it. This is from an article in American Culture and Faith Institute and about George Bono and a quote. Go ahead.
A quote from George Bono, and you may find some more in here that we need to share, but I'll quote George Bono here. Mr. Trump did not win because of superior political strategy or performance, stated George Bono. Quote, God produced a miracle in response to the prayers and the fasting of his people. Christians throughout the nation have been seeking God's forgiveness. God, Lord, we know we need his forgiveness. That's me, sorry. And God's and grace on America for months. The challenge is now for the body of Christ and the agents is to be agents of reconciliation, unity, and now to lead the country toward policies and behavior which honors God, his life, and principles. Alex, how true is that? And I just want to thank the people that are listening right now to this Exploring the Road program. Y'all, I remember just Monday, y'all were a part of the prayer and a whole day dedicated to prayer, which is to give up, or fasting, which is to give up something, and then prayer, which is what we did during the whole program on Exploring the Word, and we did all on AFR Network. And I just want to thank y'all for being a part of that. We're certain, it's just as certain as George Bono is, we're just as certain that God heard our prayers.
God heard our prayers. Alex, it was, I believe, God answered a prayer. I look at some of the Old Testament examples. I look at when Peter was held in prison, but the church prayed and he is released. I honestly believe, but prayer was made, and it made a difference in this election, brother.
I believe it. I want to say I took a lot of heat. In fact, I know of at least one speaking engagement I lost because, I just knew that he was going to be the nominee. Now, and I'm not gloating or anything. I'm just saying, you know, I'm on the road, by God's grace, speaking to 250,000 people a year, and everybody's talking about Donald Trump. And I said, I think he's going to be the nominee. Well, even up until, I'm talking 3-4 days ago, I was calling pastors and I said, look, I'm begging you, have your people pray, have your people vote. We're talking about the very nature of what America is and our grandkids, being able to preach the gospel or not. I was in Maine to preach. A pastor from Canada came to me And he literally grabbed me by the elbows and shook me. And he said, you people better get in gear while you have time. He said, I have to submit a recording of my sermons to the government before I can give them. Because if I say anything against homosexuality, I get censored. And he said, in Canada, the city where he is, which is not far from Maine, he said, I know on any given Sunday, government listeners might be sitting in my pews to monitor what I say from my pulpit. And this pastor grabbed my elbows. He said, you American preachers, you better understand where you could go. And so I don't mean to be overly dramatic, but I want to tell you, this was real, folks. And God has given us a window to turn to him thoroughly. And I just think that we need to thank him. Barna, who we've gotten to know in recent months, you know, 90% of the funding for the Great Commission still comes out of America.
Wow.
And so we believed that perhaps God might not be done with America.
Amen.
And let's show the Lord how much we want this.
Amen, Alex.
And now, praise God.
We have the opportunity. Let me share another scripture here. I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of my heroes. My two great heroes in the Old Testament is Caleb and Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, because of his organization, his determination. In chapter 4, they've started building the wall. And in verse 6, it says this. Listen to this, guys. So we built the wall. How do you like that? We built the wall. Nehemiah didn't say, I built it. Yep. He said, we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together up to the half its height. Now, that's what got my attention. Having, Mr. Trump elected president is not the end of the battle, okay? I'm not sure it's half, but it's we need to continue on. And notice it says, why in the world did the people work? In verse 6, it says, for the people had a mind to work. We have to have ready minds. We need to be equipped. We need to be ready. And AFR is pledging itself. We're talking about what do we do now? We're going to do everything we can to keep you alert and educated on the issues that are moral issues concerning life, concerning marriage, concerning debt, concerning religious freedom. We're going to take those very seriously and try to help and educate and equip and activate. Our work is not over. Our work continues. But not only do they have a mind to work, in verse 9 it says, we made our prayer to our God. They had a heart for prayer. So these are the two things I'm sharing with you. We need to have a mind to work and a heart to pray. And we've got 8 things that one of our heroes, and yours as well, Alex, wrote and shared, and they can find this, I believe, at AFA,
OneNewsNow.com. OneNewsNow.com.
Wesley and I, that's where we found it, wasn't it?
Yeah, we found it at OneNewsNow.com. You know, I want to talk about that, and I also got 5 things that we can, how we can respond to what took place.
Well, let me
and I'll
give
get
these,
to that after the break.
Okay, let's go to these eight things that we pray for, and Alex, if you want to comment on either one, I'll say 1, 2, and you can comment. Number 1, he said, from Michael Brown, that Mr. Trump, he will continue to surround himself with solid men. Okay, we know about Mike Pence, we know about Mike Huckabee, we know about Ben Carson. So that's important, isn't it, Alex? Surround yourself with godly men.
Yes, and one of the people who's in the team is Gary Bauer, a man that was 8 years in the Reagan White House, a devout Christian, worked for James Dobson Family Research Council at the Values Voters Summit, where all of the AFR team was, myself included. Gary Bauer told me, he said, Alex, I was in the Reagan White House 8 years. He said, Donald Trump has chosen to surround himself with more Christians than even Reagan had in his cabinet and team. And so Michael Brown is right. Let's continue to pray for that.
Number 2, he will listen to godly leaders who have been speaking into his life, such as James Robinson and Tony Perkins, and that's similar. But number 3, he will humble himself recognizing that the pride that brought him to this far is the pride that could also destroy him. You know, gifts are great things until they get out of balance, you know?
Yeah.
And so we need to pray for that. And we were talking about that. We saw, and even the commentators noticed that last night, guys, that there was a humility about him last night in making his acceptance speech, his victory speech. Yeah. I saw that as well. Number four, he will keep his word about the Supreme Court justices he will nominate. And this is where AFR, we are going to work on that. We're going to remind people of that, and we need to pray that he will not compromise the Republican platform for life, for marriage, and support of Israel. He will not compromise that.
Let me jump in there on that one. Yeah. I read this morning where Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister for Israel, he's already come out and said that he's grateful for Trump's victory and said that he considers Trump a friend of Israel.
Amen.
And I don't know if it went the other way, if he could come out so soon and consider us a friend, you know.
Amen. So, that's true. And also, he will do his best to not alienate those who are horrified by his presidency instead of pledging to be the president of all Americans. He does have a big task because of that mouth that he does have, and it's not politically correct. It cuts both ways. And so we pray that they'll see that he's a president for all Americans. He will demonstrate that he will ultimately help our nation as a whole with its economic policies and also concerning a better plan than Obamacare. And number eight, he will learn to act presidential on both a national and international level. And if you're looking for a prayer list on how to pray for him, you can go to onenewsnow.com, and that would be great. That's another one of our ministries.
And the title is Donald Trump, President Elected by God, by the Sovereignty and Intervention of God.
Amen. Now, you want to give yours, Wesley, real quick before we go to the break?
And, well, I'll wait after the break.
Okay, well, Alex, when you look at that list, those are good things that we pray for, and it gives us something to do. We're not just sitting on the sideline anymore. We're a part of the team that brought him to the presidency. As God blessed to answer our prayers, we're part of the team, aren't we?
We are. You know, the Christian has a unique opportunity to be a citizen, to be salt and light. Not only we live godly and righteously, but we pray. And clearly, these prayers make a difference. I mean, you've got to understand how even yesterday morning, one of the commentators, who they just knew the election would not go this way, they said, well, the clown show that is the Trump campaign is about to be over. Well, we Christians have got to remember that prayers really changed history.
Yes.
Amen. My prayer now is that this would be a catalyst for revival.
Okay. Really. We're going to pray here, and let's do that. We hadn't got a lot of time. And the number that if you want to call, and we want people to tell us what they would tell him, an encouraging word that they'd give the president-elect if they could speak to him, an encouraging word. Wesley, we got about 20 seconds here to pray. Would you mind praying?
I will. Father God, thank you so much for showing us mercy when we do not deserve mercy, Father. I pray that we would respond to your mercy, Father, as the church, as a body of Christ, Father. I pray that we would do what Alex teaches, and that's to evangelize the lost, Father, and equip the saints, Father. We pray that here at AFR and AFA and during this program at Exploring the Word, we would do both, Father. Pray that we would take to heart these eight things that we and in which ways we can specifically pray for Donald Trump. And we pray, we'll pray for him, pray for those that he is surrounded for, and pray for the work here of AFA as we continue to support him, his good decisions. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Wesley. And we are praying for him. We pledge ourselves to do that here at AFR and on Exploring the Word. And we want you to call. And what's one word of encouragement? I don't mean just a word, but a sentence of encouragement that you would give our president-elect if you could speak to him. And we want to hear from you. And the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840.
Do you know how much God wants to talk to you? In fact, I would suggest that God wants to talk to you more than you want to talk to him. In Genesis 1 and 2, the first two encounters between God and man, man says nothing. God does all the talking. And you know what he's doing? He's blessing. He's blessing them. You miss a blessing by not putting yourself in a place where God can talk to you. The gateway to blessing, this is a blessing of fruitfulness and mission and empowerment. That blessing comes because you create the space for God to speak into your life. This is Doug Small with Project Pray for OneCry.com.
Take a stand for your Christian faith this Christmas season by wearing and sharing AFA's new Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands. Get one free when you stop by afa.net/Christmas. The wristbands come in packs of 10, so order several to give to your friends. Remember, when you request your free wristband and order more, you're keeping the American Family Association in the battle to restore Christian values in America. Visit afa.net/Christmas.
To sharpen the faith of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who don't know Him. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. This is host David Wheaton inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, to pursue that mission as we discuss a compelling topic from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on AFR Talk.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
What a time to hold on to the promises. And real quickly, we're going to go to our phone calls, but Alex shared a verse. I shared some verses. You have any, Wesley?
I do got one. I was thinking about this because I've had one phone call, one email, one text after another saying, look, first of all, almost like in shock, you know, like this is really taking place. And then like, what do we do? You know, it's kind of like we didn't want to admit it, but in the back of our minds, we're thinking of strategies, how we're going to do it if the election goes the other way. But so in our response to what to do, a couple things, we won't get to all of them, but just keep an eye out for Monday. We're going to work on an email list. So sign up for the AFA Action list. But as far as a practical spiritual way and a passage of scripture that I would like to share for those that are listening that say, well, what do we do now? Romans 12, verse 1, just one verse. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, your spiritual act of worship. The reason I chose that verse, then the reason God brought that to my heart is because twofold. One, what you see in Romans leading up to chapter 12, especially in the first three chapters of the depravity of men, is you see God and then our ability or God's offering us his grace and his mercy. And then in chapter 12, you get to his mercy after seeing that. And then he says our response to the mercies that he's done for us is just to offer our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So if you're wondering, what do we do as an, and I understand there's individuals and there's nations, but as an individual that's a part of this nation, what we can do in our response is now that God's given us this act of mercy, we can offer our bodies for the next year, two, three, four, 5 years, whatever it is, to offer our bodies a living sacrifice to God.
Amen. That's what we want to do. Well, we're going to get to the phone calls. We ask you to be brief and specific. We're loaded up, and we'll get to every call if we can. So we want to go to Kansas, to Anthony, and the question that I asked was, what's a word of encouragement that you would give to the president-elect if you could speak to him? Anthony, what would you say?
I'd just tell President-elect Trump that prayer is what got him to the White House, and to keep seeking God and to pray and to follow him and to lead this country into a great revival for Jesus.
Amen, Anthony. Praise God. I've got chill bumps on me.
Me too.
I would too, Anthony. Thank you. Thank
Praise
you so much. Keep listening and keep praying. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to David. David, what word of encouragement would you give President-elect Trump?
Yeah, thank you, Brother Bert. Thanks for taking my call. If I could talk to the president, I would tell him that when Solomon took the throne in Israel, that God basically came to him and said, tell me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon told God, I'm not going to be able to rule these people unless I have your wisdom. And I would just encourage him just to seek the wisdom of the Lord, that God has made the president, and that that is who that needs to be the source of his wisdom and his governing the people. And I, just real quick, I know you want me to be brief. I just praise the Lord. I feel like the Lord has given us a reprieve.
Amen.
Possibly a Nineveh moment.
And we agree with that, yeah.
You know, where you know, the people have stood up and stood up for values, and I just thank God for that.
Amen, thank David. You. We've been talking about that today. You're in good company with that observation. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Bob. Bob, welcome to Exploring the Word. What word of encouragement would you give our president-elect?
I would want him to remember that I have been, and I'm going to be praying for him every day that he's in service for our country. I'm very, very proud of him. I wish him the best. But above all, I want him to remember one thing, that this was a miracle from God. And in AFR, you know what? If it wasn't for AFR, I guarantee you he wouldn't be in office right now. If it wasn't for AFR, and I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But anyway, thank y'all. I appreciate it. Just for him to remember, this was a miracle from God. So I just thank God, and I thank AFR, and I thank y'all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. I remember President George W. Bush asking, and I was at a conference where he was, and he said, what did you appreciate the most? Yeah. And he said, the people who is praying for me.
Amen.
And we need to pray for him. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Joe. Joe, welcome to Exploring the Word. What would you say to President-elect Trump as a word of encouragement?
Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and come to Fairview Baptist Church.
Amen, Joe. Hey, where is that in Tennessee? We want to give you a shout out. Where is that church?
In Paris, Tennessee.
Paris, Tennessee. If you're in Paris, Tennessee, Joe, are you the pastor?
God, it's been a glorious day.
Amen.
A glorious day.
Has your church been praying?
Yes, sir. We fasted and we prayed.
Amen, Joe. Isn't that awesome, man?
That is awesome. Brother Joe, that is when I talk to pastors and church members, knowing that those people go to church, and I hear that they're involved in not just prayer but in action, that really, really, really encourages me, because many of the secular progressives wants to point out that, you know, that Christians are disengaged and they discourage them in different ways, that it shouldn't be active. But you have really encouraged me today, Joe, and I'm just, may the Lord bless you in your efforts there in Tennessee, and I pray the Lord will expand your church there.
You remember and me going to Paris, Tennessee on one of our trips? We've been there, hadn't we?
Yep, we have.
A great community there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, great community. We stopped in the little local, not store there, but little historical little thing there. And then where did we end up eating? I forgot
where we ate, but it was good.
It was good.
I know I ate.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Joe, thank you. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Mo. Mo, what word of encouragement would you say for our president-elect?
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. I want to pray for peace that passes understanding to just rest on him. And I want to encourage him that his body may have rest, and most of all, that he'd be filled with godly wisdom.
Mm.
And not only would he seek godly counsel, but he himself would be just filled with godly wisdom, that he would have a relationship with the Lord. And last but not least, he would not be a man pleaser, but he would be a God pleaser.
Amen, Mo.
So much. God bless you.
Amen, brother. Thank you.
You know, one of the common thread between everyone that spoke, whether they quoted it or not, they've used scripture in their prayers. And I think that's so important, so powerful, especially when it's born of the word. And I just want to give you and Alex credit, you know, where credit's due. You know, you've been training your audience to use the Word of God
as
a double-edged sword.
The Word of God is settled in heaven. I mean, it is truth.
Yeah.
And everything else is going to fade away, but the Word of God abides forever. Okay, that's enough of that.
That's enough of that.
You got me to preaching now.
I did that.
Okay, let's go to Arkansas and talk to Aaron. Aaron, welcome to Exploring the Word. What word of encouragement would you have for President-elect Trump?
The word, just like you were just talking about, Nahum 1:7. Nahum 1:7. It's my life verse. Past couple of years, it says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him."
Amen, brother.
He's got some hard days ahead of him. I believe it's not going to be easy. He's got a tough job, very tough job, and just needs to trust the Lord. He's good.
Amen. You know what? Abraham Lincoln said many times, this job and responsibility has driven me to my knees.
Yeah.
And I pray that would be the case with Donald Trump, that he would be driven to his knees by the heavy responsibility that he has.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. Let's go to Texas and talk to Kathy. Kathy, welcome.
Good afternoon. I have a word. It's from Romans 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Amen, Kathy. Thank you. The Word of God and the responsibility that He has, but we have that responsibility to pray and support Him as much as we can.
Yeah.
And pray that accountability will be a part of the men and women that surround him.
Yeah, and it's interesting there that that we're supposed to pray for him, but also support him. As I like you said, to the best of our abilities. You know, with him and the people he's surrounding himself with, it's going to be a lot easier to do than the other way.
Let's go to Virginia and talk to Nicole. Nicole, welcome. What word of encouragement would you have?
Well, I would just like to remind Donald Trump that we all were praying for him, and I just wanted to keep his promises. I'm calling on behalf of my local church, which is a predominantly African-American church. We really just push for people in our church to open up their eyes and realize you don't have to always vote Democrat. You're a Christian first, and you need to vote for Christian values. And we really were able to get through to them because of you guys. I listen to you guys all the time, and you really helped me send the message to my church to open up their eyes. So,
Nicole, thank you. What part of Virginia? What station do you listen to?
I'm 88.1 in Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. It's one of our best stations. Thank you for that. And listen, when it comes to that, you know, no color. You know?
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nicole.
It tells us where we stand.
And that is a testimony. I'm shouting here. I'm having a hard time reserving my emotions here. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to John. John, welcome.
Thank you, brother. And God bless you all for what you do. The president-elect, I'd like to say, continue to surround yourself with people of integrity and of God, and you'll continue to have prosperity. And thank you for, you know, everything that you guys do. We listen to AFR every day. We listened to you guys all night last night. we were getting tired with you, so.
You should have seen some of those guys, John, when they came in. I think they one of the guys is answering the phone for y'all guys. His name is Jonathan Coker. And Jonathan was here late last night, went home. Thought he could have come in late, but he had to get his boys off, and he came on in, and he's been here all day. And that's the kind of guys we got, and we praise God for the men behind the scenes, don't we, Wesley?
Yeah, we do.
People, they hear us,
yeah.
But, man, they're the people. Okay, thank you so much. Let's go to Arizona and talk to Ray. Ray, welcome.
Hi, praise the Lord. A joy in the morning, just like the psalmist said, weeping at night and joy in the morning. What I'm calling about really is what I would say to President-elect Donald Trump. I would tell him to remember that the words of the Lord, as he told Abraham in Genesis, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And God said to Isaiah that his word will not go out and come back void, but will accomplish that which he had decreed. So that would be my words of an exhortation to President-elect Donald Trump.
Ray, thank you for that. I agree, man. That's what you were referring to earlier about Israel and our response to Israel. And thank you for that. Let's go to Texas and talk to Elise. Elise, what word of encouragement would you have for President-elect Trump?
Elise, are you there with us?
Ellis.
Alice. Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead. Ellis?
I would point him to two Bibles, and I would probably have them in my hand. One is the Apostolic Bible Polyglot, which is an interlineal, and another one is the Greek, Hebrew, English by J.P. Green.
Now, that may confuse him. I think we'll just stick with the ESV version or your regular Bible version. That's a big jump, though, for someone.
That is, but what he's saying is so true.
Yeah.
The Bible, knowing the Word of God, gives wisdom.
Sure.
It really does. And I'm tell you this, the more time I spend in the Word, the more wisdom I have, and also I have better discernment now.
Sure.
You know, some people have a gift of discernment. I don't have, quote, that gift as a spiritual gift, but God gives it to me as I spend time in the Word, Wesley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that beats your time in the Word of God.
Yeah, there's two types of discernment. So there's a spiritual gift of discernment, and there's that discernment that you gain from the wisdom side of it, from reading His Word and being able to distinguish good from evil.
Amen. Listen, we appreciate that so much. We want to go to Kentucky and talk to Frank. Frank, welcome. What word of encouragement would you have for President-elect Trump?
Well, I have two things I would say that we should constantly pray for him and all that he has to do in the days ahead, days in front of him. And also, you know, Jesus said, love your enemies. And so I think we should pray also for Clinton that she be saved.
Amen. Thank you, Frank. You have really blessed us today by saying that because, you know, you and I, Wesley, were talking about it along with Brent, that we weren't here to browbeat.
Right.
And what he has said is pray. So we haven't got any more time. We're just running out of time. And, man, we had folks that were calling. And
all
over the place. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's a record number, I think, for people.
Yeah, and I'll add something real quick. I think Donald Trump's done a good job of leading the way last night and the way he handled the Clinton call.
Did you notice how many thank yous he had? One of the greatest things that you bring into any relationship, whether it's between two people or a person in a nation, is an attitude of gratitude.
That's right.
He demonstrated that last night.
I think he did a good job leading the way in that particular area because you got some people pretty frustrated, and so he did a good job.
Amen. Keep praying for him. Keep listening to Exploring the Word. Alex will be here. He'll be in the studio with us tomorrow.
Where are y'all going to be tomorrow?
Well, we're going to start something besides Hebrews. We finished Hebrews, okay?
Good.
And we'll find out. So tune in tomorrow and be surprised. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. Tell someone about this program, but more importantly, tell someone about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.